You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
Woo! Put them together.
You better put them hands together.
Does look like Notre Dame will officially announce Marcus Freeman as their new head coach, promoted from within to replace the outgoing Brian Kelly, who landed at LSU. 35 years old, just became the defensive coordinator in South Bend this past offseason. And there was word out of LSU yesterday, Buck, that Brian Kelly was interested in bringing Marcus Freeman and Tommy Reese with him to LSU. Of course, Tommy Reese is the offensive coordinator, Marcus right. Freeman the defensive coordinator. And it is interesting that LSU tried to hire Marcus Freeman last offseason to be their defensive coordinator under Ed Orgeron. He instead chose wisely
yes.
and left Cincinnati to go to Brian Kelly in Notre Dame. And now he's going to be the head man at Notre Dame, it appears.
And that Notre Dame defense is salty now. They've got some really, I mean, they are stout against the run. And that football team is getting better each game they play this year.
Yeah, they've had quarterback issues this year, which again, you know,
and they found their ways around that.
Yeah, you look around the country, teams that were replacing longtime quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Texas with Sam Ellinger, A&M with Kellen Mond, Notre Dame with, who was the Notre Dame quarterback for forever and ever? But I can't think of his name.
Little right transfer guy.
No. I'm talking about in the previous years that had been the 3-year starter there. What was the kid's name? Ian Book, right?
Right.
You know, it's not easy to replace a quarterback that is your starting quarterback that many years in a row, becomes the leader of your football team, your football program at some extent. And so I thought Notre Dame struggled with that a little bit early. But yes, they did get better as the year went on.
They did have quarterback injuries too and still overcame that.
Yeah, and the one loss to Cincinnati on their home field potentially and likely keeps them out of the college football playoff. But Cincinnati could lose Saturday. I mean, they've got a tough one with Houston. U of H Cougars are a one-loss team, and
plus, Father Jenkins is on his way back.
Well, that was the report
Vatican.
That Marcus Freeman has agreed to become Notre Dame's head coach, awaiting Father Jenkins' return from a trip to the Vatican to finalize details. That's according to Ed Ciotti.
He's with the Pope, and somebody said, "Yo, you need to go back and sign this deal. We need this deal completed." Sorry, there, Papal Father, but. This dude's got to get back to South Bend quickly.
So now the next shoes to drop will have to be in Norman, Oklahoma. There's been talk that Brent Venables is the leading candidate for the Sooners, and that's not going to be one of those.
Yeah, this early signing date is really, you know, a lot of times they will wait till after a bunch of, you know, to even bowl
You're right
games.
About that. You're right about
not
that.
Not any longer.
Well, you got to have somebody in place. So it's not just the early signing period window. It's transfer portal.
Right.
I mean, you know, what was the initial report from Adam Schefter that Cliff Kingsbury would be interested in the job? Well, Oklahoma's not waiting until February to hire their new football coach.
No.
That ain't going to happen. I do think Cliff's agent was just trying to get him a new raise, which he probably will get because Cardinals are 9-2 right now under Cliff. But that's interesting. Marcus Freeman to be promoted. Looks like Brett Venables will be the leading contender in Oklahoma. So we'll watch for that. That comes with the Bob Stoops recommendation that Venables has what it takes, has the chops to be the coach. He's been the coach there. He helped spot Lincoln Riley and understand pretty early on he was a special coach, and he thinks Brett Venables has a lot of the same. So that could be the way, and that's how Oklahoma does, right? They don't typically go out and make splash hires.
No.
They try to keep it in-house as much as possible, people they know about a lot. And obviously Venables was there before he went to Clemson and won national championships as the right hand to Dabo Swinney. So we'll watch for that today or tomorrow, but it looks like it's official at Notre Dame. Let's get to the other headlines of your Thursday morning. Plenty of them. Then we're talking to Brian Davis of the Austin American Statesman. Top Gun, Law and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And yeah, Longhorns and Oklahoma Sooners have not yet announced when they'll make their move to the Southeastern Conference. They're heading there, but when still becomes a question. As a result of that, Big 12 released its 2022 football schedule yesterday. Both teams were included. Following a 3-game non-conference schedule for Texas against Louisiana, Monroe, UTSA, and Alabama, Texas will open conference play September 24th in Lubbock against Texas Tech. Then home for West Virginia before the annual Red River game, October 8th at the Cotton Bowl. No Thanksgiving Day or day after for the Longhorns in 2022, if indeed they're still in the conference. Instead, the Horns will host Baylor on the Saturday following Big 12 championship game set for December the 3rd. In other news, From the 40 Acres, prominent University of Texas donors, former Longhorn athletes, and veteran sports marketer Nick Shuley announced yesterday that they have formed and launched a first-of-its-kind name, image, and likeness program called the Clark Field Collective. According to Shuley, the collective received an initial pledge commitment of $10 million and has a stated goal of becoming the largest dedicated fund in the nation for college athletes. The Clark Field Collective is unaffiliated with UT but has been created to assist the school's athletes in 17 varsity sports and cultivating and facilitating NIL opportunities in conjunction with businesses, donors, and fans. Basketball, Irwin Center last night. Texas women, 15th ranked in the country, improved to 5-1. They took down Jackson State, 78-64. Craig Way will have much more on that game coming up in the Craig Way Report. NBA last night, Dallas Mavericks crushed New Orleans, 139-107. Houston won their fourth straight game. They beat Oklahoma City. Week 13 in the NFL opens tonight in New Orleans with the scuffling, but still in first place. Dallas Cowboys looking to get back on track. They are in New Orleans to face the Saints. Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper was activated from COVID protocols yesterday. Practiced on a limited basis. He's listed as questionable for the game tonight. Dallas is hoping to have Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup on the field together. If they can do it, it'll be only the third time it's happened in their first 10 games.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. The holidays are coming, so don't be a ho-ho-ho. Shop local at Top Gun for all your lawn equipment, equipment rental, and equipment repair needs. TopGun.net, we'll shoot you straight.
Big buck off to me for letting the dog get into the collard greens that I was supposed to dispose of yesterday, day before yesterday.
Are you still in the dog house?
I don't think so. I think my wife has kind of forgiven me because it was, if it would have been on her white rug, that would have been the end of, that would have been the end of time for me. But the fact that it was on a rug that he had already done his thing on, you know, half a year ago, it wasn't quite as bad.
But you were instructed to get rid of the collard greens, the leftovers, and you, instead of throwing them in the trash can, you threw them in the yard.
I threw them in a spot behind a wall that I thought that that little sucker couldn't get to. And needless to say, as I said, that dog can would climb a tree for a peanut if he knew it was up there. Yes.
So there you go. Well,
so buck off to me and my ego yesterday of. I'm really kind of fighting, moving up on the tee box at the UT Club.
Is one of the longer courses you're going to play, especially those par fours.
They're all long for me.
Yeah, well, short par fours are long for you. You missed your driver on a par three. You still doing that?
I did that yesterday, too. Got on, too.
I love it.
There's no pictorials on there. There's no TikToking at a golf course. So
you can TikTok at a golf course.
No videos out there. That's private there.
That's right. Well, good for you. If you want to get out of the doghouse with your wife, as I mentioned yesterday, you should take her to see Three Dog Night tonight at the Paramount Theater. She'd like that.
I don't know if she...
Come on!
I don't know if she was a Three Dog Nighter from way back.
I'm sure she is. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline anytime we talk Texas sports. Always great to talk to the insider from the Austin American Statesman, Hook'em.com, our great friend Brian Davis. Brian, how are you?
Hello, boys. How we doing this morning?
Doing okay,
good.
Buddy.
Doing good. How do you best explain the Clark Field Cooperative, which we learned about yesterday from Nick Shuley? What was your takeaway of what this is and how it's going to operate?
Well, I mean, it definitely has a nice big headline number of $10 million. I think what Nick Shuley is he's a well-known Austin sports marketer. He's done a lot of music stuff. He's got a really long background in sports marketing, different things. I think one of the things that's interesting is that he wants to form committees for each team so that, you know, people kind of know what each team needs and things like that. But my big question is still, okay, does this mean that this is just a giant slush fund? I don't know. I really don't know. But it's all legit. It's all legit now. It's the Wild West now. And, I hope that players can get some, too.
You know, Brian, for me, it's not like everybody can do this image and likeness. Not everybody's wanted at car dealers or grocery stores or signing autographs. It's not for everybody, you know?
And to me, that's what the Clark Field Collective should do. It should say, hey, look, what businesses are interested in working with Texas athletes? Well,
right.
Okay, Joe's Crab Shack. I don't know. Just throw Billy's Car Wash. I don't know. Throw a generic name out there. And I feel like it should be this collective group's job to say, okay, Billy's Car Wash, you want to work with Texas athletes? well, here are some different ideas to you know, not everybody can sign Bijan Robinson. I get it.
Right.
But this group can pair businesses with athletes because there are terrific people on all those teams over there at Texas. And just, you know, there's a lot of hidden gems too.
Well, you've got everything from that are not only just some really good athletes, but really great students, and maybe HEB and grocery stores like that want to team up with those type of people, whether it's volleyball, basketball, rowing, to help out some of these students, to help them academically too.
Let's not forget that people want to be associated with winners, right? And the fact is, the businesses want to be associated with winners. And the fact is, I mean, I know that football gets all the attention. I get it, and rightfully so. But let's not forget, there are a lot of Big 12 champions mm-hmm. over on that campus, and a lot of them. And, you know, you don't win the Director's Cup last year just because, you know, your football team does well. The whole thing has to do well, the whole enterprise. And so there are a lot of opportunities over there for companies who just want to go look.
Well, and that's interesting you say it that way, Brian, because we know Texas has as deep a pockets and as deep a resources as anybody in the country as far as big money donors and folks who would want to support it. But this is to what Buggy just said. It's not for everybody, but there are a lot of world-class athletes over there that are in swimming and diving, track and field, any number of sports. And when you bring a guy like Nick Shuley, whose job is marketing and branding, well, that's what you're doing. You're bringing these players to light, these young athletes to light, which makes them more visible, which makes them more attractive to name, image, and likeness. And, you know, the collective would be what you're saying, that businesses that want to be a part of that can put, you know, invest their money, and then Nick and the board and the committees will help dole it out where it's going to be best served. And again, individual athletes who maybe you've never heard of, but boy, they're a world-class, you know, pole vaulter or shot putter or whatever it might be, swimmer, their faces get more recognized and they become more known.
Oh, there are definitely future Olympians coming out of that campus. There's no doubt about that. And you know, it's a matter of do you just want to go after Bijan and you know, the top players? Okay, fine. But those guys are getting very picky. You know, Bijan's very picky, and so there's just a lot of good opportunities there in other sports. For people who are open to different ideas.
Yeah, and people that are around some of these athletes aren't going to, you know, not their families don't want them just jumping into anything for money, you know?
Correct.
They want to make sure that this suits them, that fits the personality, it fits their family's profile and everything else. Things will change. I just think it ups the game. I believe it ups the game definitely in recruiting. I mean, high-profile quarterbacks, you know, that aren't Arch Manning, that over in the next couple of years that are going to come onto this campus want to know that they have a deal almost already set, that these groups already know about them in high school and what their likes are and their dislikes and what they're interested in, whether it's gaming or, you know, shoes and things like that. I mean, that's going to be a huge part of it, I got to believe.
Absolutely. You know, to talk about gaming, I thought it was really interesting. Kenny Vaccaro announced yesterday his retirement from pro football, essentially, to now he's starting this esports business. I mean, I know it sounds crazy to some of us olds, but there's a lot of money in video games, man. People pay a lot of money to watch other people play video games. It's crazy, but it is. And those are like athletes in their own way. And like I said, there's just all kinds of different things out there. And that's what the greatness of the NIL landscape is that it is shifting day by day, and it as the market establishes itself, and no one really knows where it's going to go.
Very interesting. Nick Shuley, we're going to try to get him on the show to talk to him about it as well. TJ Ford is behind this. He's one of the former athletes invested, as well as Kenny Vaccaro, as Brian mentioned, and more. We'll follow that as it develops, but it seems like a smart way to organize this thing and kind of give it an epicenter of the NIL at the University of Texas. Brian, as for the football team, Steve Sarkisian, we know, is off recruiting and his coaching staff trying to, you know, fill this roster with good players. He's going to be meeting with Arch Manning apparently today at Isidore Newman High in New Orleans. People have asked us a lot, are there going to be additions to the coaching staff, changes to the coaching staff? What are your thoughts and what are you hearing on that front behind the scenes?
Well, I know that there is talk behind the scenes to keep the staff intact. And, you know, and I heard this is, you know, I heard the latest Monday night was, you know, that the administration thinks that no one should be changed. Or at least let's put it this way. No one is going to force a change. Let's put it that way. If Steve Sarkisian wants to make a switch out, whatever, then that's totally on him. But I definitely feel like that the Jay Hartzell and Chris Delcani are fine with keeping the staff intact because they believe that, you know, all of this turnover of all the different coordinators and assistants and, you know, the revolving door, that's been part of the problem, right? Now, there's a flip side to that. If you keep the status quo after a 5-7 season and you come out, you get beat by Alabama and you struggle or God forbid, get beat by UTSA, now you're 1-2 and everyone's going to go, you know, we told you you should have changed the staff. So there's a little bit of a risk for Steve on that, no question. But I'm definitely in the camp of, you know, you should keep these guys, go recruit some better players, and coach them up, you know.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
I would agree. I mean, they've got enough things to do that's right there on that campus, and if they decide to keep that whole staff together, and as you said, that's going to be on Sark. I wouldn't think that anybody, you know, I wouldn't think, you know, the Board of Regents or anybody else would say to Sark if he decided to change out one or two guys. I don't even think they're going to say why. They're just probably going to say to him, "You thought that was best for this program."
Absolutely, and to me, that's the difference. I don't think anything's going to be dictated to him,
right?
But if Steve wants to make the call, then they're going to just.
And we'll see.
Yes, they're going to just say yes.
I do think consistency is the vital right now. But at the same time, you know, a guy like Jimmy Lake, who coached with Pete Kwiatkowski at Washington's out there. Of course, he was fired at Washington as the head coach. People mentioned Gary Patterson. Could he come in as some type of, you know, support, you know, analyst type of thing behind the scenes? We'll watch for that. Could make some additions without subtracting and still improve your staff and overall of what you're doing with Steve Sarkisian. Schedule was released, Brian, by the Big 12, obviously. With anticipation that Texas and Oklahoma will still be in this conference next year. Do you anticipate that being the fact, or do you think there could be a change come January and into the offseason for both schools?
Oh, no. I definitely think Texas is in the Big 12 for one more academic year, for sure. I'm of the belief that it's going to be 2023, and I felt like it's going to be that way for a long time. I mean, the SEC released their 2022 schedule a while back.
Sure.
So this really, you know, yesterday wasn't a surprise, frankly. But I just think that once football season gets over, and once we get into the spring, once we get into spring meetings, I think we're going to start hearing rumblings about things. No one has told me anything official or definite or wink, wink, nod, nod. I don't know. It's just my gut feels like that, you know, nobody wants to go through a four-year divorce, right? Bowlesby doesn't want it. Texas and OU don't want it. I think if you're Texas and OU, quite frankly, you tried to wreck the whole collective, and it didn't work. You need to do what's right. You need to pay the Big 12 and move on to your new home. If that's what you want to do, then you need to do it.
Well, interesting. Real quick, Brian, on that note, I mean, think about the Big 12. I mean, they're losing Texas and Oklahoma, but come Sunday, they could have two future teams, or one current and one future team in the Final Four. If Cincinnati and Oklahoma State were to win and Alabama loses, you know, the Big 12 can boast, look, we've got two of the four either in it or going to be part of our conference.
And Bob Bosby's going, happy days are here again. You know, Bob Bosby's like, who needs the Bevos? Who needs OU? We got Cincinnati, baby.
Yeah.
Well, on the face of it, that sounds crazy. But, no, you're exactly right. Cincinnati could be a champion. Houston is doing really well. Look, if you're the Big 12, you're losing two major crown jewels. But, you know, it's not just, you know, total disaster either on the other end.
Yeah, but one of the two crown jewels probably needs another year in the Big 12 football-wise when it comes. Now, any otherwise, the teams are doing well all over the place, but football-wise, this group needs to stick around here. They're not physically ready for that kind of football on a week-in, week-out basis, I don't believe.
You know, but this is going to sound. I agree with that 100%. This is going to sound weird, but my feeling is that I almost think that Texas should hurry up and get to the SEC almost as fast as possible now. And the reason why is because, look, if you guys in administration, if you think that recruits are going elsewhere because, well, coach, I just want to play in the best league in America. Okay, great. Well, then if I'm Texas, I want to get that little round logo on my jersey as fast as possible.
Mm.
Right? I mean, I definitely understand what you're saying. They need another year to build up, you know, linemen and all those types of things. But if recruits are saying, I want to play in the SEC, well, then, you know, Texas, go get in the SEC. Like,
yeah, but you know what it would be like here. If this group came back and they went to the SEC and they were 5-7 again, there would be – this place would catch on fire. I mean, it just would. And I don't care if I think they're not ready to do that. If they just go haul ass and go there and they get pummeled by Mississippi State, and they look like Vanderbilt more than they do you know, Auburn and Georgia, all hell would break loose at this place. It just would be that way.
It would be, absolutely. You know, but hey, I look, you know, everyone here is worried about their own house.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're Oklahoma, are you super excited about rushing into the SEC right now?
No.
I wouldn't think so. Their whole roster is being raided, right? Mm-hmm. And they just got a coach who bolted on him because he wanted no part of the SEC, right? So, I think both schools are in weird spots. You know, we're here. We focus on Texas, obviously. It's a massive offseason. You cannot overstate the importance of this offseason. Sark has got to find linemen. He's got to find more options at quarterback. To me, that's the biggest disappointment of this entire football season. Texas went through the entire year, and they still cannot say who is their quarterback. They can't. And that's a real problem. That's a major problem.
No doubt, on top of the worst defense in program history. Brian, last thing real quick. With Oklahoma's, you know, the departure of Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly at LSU, which has rocked the college football landscape, is it fair to ask and criticize, you know, at least ask Jay Hartzell and Kevin Elteif and Chris Del Conte, did they do a thorough enough search when they hired Steve Sarkisian to bring stability? Should they have asked Brian Kelly and that ilk?
Well, here's the thing. I think that what this offseason has proven, or what's not offseason, it's still going, but what this coaching carousel is proving is that there are coaches to be had for the right price. Everybody's got a price. There's no doubt about that. This is a school that once, you know, had their sights set on Nick Saban, and they ended up with Charlie Strong, right? You know, could they have gotten Brian Kelly? I don't know. Brian Kelly, you know, apparently wanted to, you know, he just wanted to maybe stay another year and bolster his contract there at Notre Dame. But now, 1 year later, he's itching to go somewhere else. They tried to get Urban Meyer, and then Urban Meyer basically spurned him, more or less. You know, and don't give me the crap about, oh, his health and his back, blah, blah, blah. No, he wanted to go coach for the Jags, right? There's no doubt about that. So, could they have gotten a different coach? I don't know. I mean, are they paying enough? When you look at the landscape right now, no, they're not. But are they going to give this guy a raise? Does Sark deserve a raise?
No.
5-7? Absolutely not. So that they are where they are.
Well, there's nobody knocking the door down to get your coach. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody saying, no, we want Sark here at this school. Or, you know, Washington wasn't calling back for him. Neither was Washington State. They want to see what you do, how you produce. Do your teams get better no matter what you're left with? Have they gotten better in certain positions? And this group, it's absolutely not.
Well, that becomes a challenge.
And that's the issue. I mean, look, you know, Steve Sarkisian was on top of the world as Nick Saban's assistant. Pete Kwiatkowski was one of the best defensive coordinators in the Pac-12. But this is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business.
Right.
And the business right now is not good. It's just not good at Texas. And that's their challenge. That's their challenge this offseason. And they got to get it going, get it right.
Brian, always appreciate it. Good perspective as always. And we look forward to our next visit. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Appreciate it, guys.
Follow Brian online, of course, Austin American Statesman, hookem.com, and, of course, in the hard copy of the Statesman each day. It's Brian Davis. We'll come back. When we do, we'll discuss what we just talked about with Brian, this collective that is being put together and its impact. Also, Craig Way has Craig Way Report. We've got Salacious Gossip and your Blitz still to come this hour on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate Brian Davis. Good stuff right there. Always good conversations on the Horn. Get over to hornfm.com. That's the website. We'll get that posted if you missed any part of that conversation. Also, Chris Beard yesterday was with us. That was a good combo if you missed it. Go over and check out all our interviews and podcasts there at hornfm.com. Also, the Westlake head coach Todd Dodge was on with Light the Tower guys yesterday. That's there at the website. That was a good conversation talking about, because Jeff asked him some good questions about college football and this madness of the coaching cycle we're in. And, of course, Todd coached at the college level for a while. Pretty interesting stuff. Plus, it's a big weekend for high school football in the area with Westlake and Vandergrift playing to go to the state semifinals. It's the quarterfinal action, final eight, at DKR. It's a pretty cool scene.
That is going to be a great scene.
I mean, we've seen, when was the last time there was a big-time high school football game at DKR? I know Lake Travis and Westlake have played there before.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, a playoff game where the winner, essentially this is like a regional championship. Who gets bragging rights in this region is decided on that in that game with Vandergrift and Westlake.
Great atmosphere for those kids, too.
Should be cool. And looks like the weather's going to be nice. Obviously, it's championship Saturday, but it would be fun to get out there and check that out. Also, like Travis playing at Dripping Springs.
By
like
the way,
Jay.
Buck off to anybody that thinks we really give a damn about Oklahoma football and Oklahoma. I don't. The only thing I care about is the fact that I'm sad that, you know, Colonel Flowers has to go back and forth to Oklahoma. That's the only thing I'm sad about when it comes to Oklahoma. The rest of it can fall in the river.
Well, again, you guys talk about Oklahoma. When there's a top story in college football, or certainly in the country, we talk about it. I mean, it's just what we do on this show.
Right.
And Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma for USC is a major story, and Oklahoma's roster jumping into the transfer portal is a pretty major story. I guess we could go deep in the weeds on Texas football recruiting, but there's nothing to report until someone commits
right.
or decommits, and we report it when it happens. I mean, these are major, major stories. So I would say buck off to folks criticizing anything. We're talking about the biggest story in college football in a long time of what we've seen in the last four
but
days.
I don't care about their football deal. They can go 0-0 whatever.
Sure. Oh, that's
if
right.
If need be.
Well, but it's an intriguing storyline, and it does impact Texas. They're both moving to the SEC together. Now both are kind of like, ooh, are we ready for that? But I thought Brian's point on the faster you can get the SEC emblem on your jersey, the better for recruiting. And because players do want to play in that conference, but do they want to play for you in that conference?
Yeah, that's the problem. They go play for Georgia if they're 4- and 5-star great players.
Well, but that's part of the reason for the push is Texas is the flagship university in the state. When they get into the SEC, there's a lot of kids that have always wanted to go to Texas and wanted to play in the SEC that now can have that opportunity.
But I think don't you have to be, as we've said before, kids don't come to build your program anymore. They want you to have a good program.
Well, sure, but at this point, you have to be realistic to what you are. And that the only way to get better is to recruit better players and convince them and sell them the vision of, it's the vision that Chris Beard sold to these transfers in basketball. That, would Shaka Smart have made the same moves at Texas? I don't know. I mean, Chris Beard came in with a vision for what he wanted on his roster and what Texas basketball can be, having gone here, understanding it. And he went out and built a roster that is playing in the top 10 in the country and is only going to get better as the year goes on. When he got here, they had one guy on scholarship.
There's a lot of folks that are saying, well, Daryl Royal didn't win right. I mean, you're going to put Sark in there with Daryl Royal? Are you kidding me?
No.
Daryl Royal didn't win right away?
Well, look, it is fair to point out that Nick Saban went 7-5 in his first year at Alabama. Bob Stoops' first year at Oklahoma wasn't good. You got to start somewhere. But Charlie Strong didn't have a good first year. Tom Herman didn't have a good first year. But guess what? That's the question. Is Sark the guy? If he is, you have to give him time to do it
mm-hmm.
and get it. And that's why people are pointing that out, that it doesn't just – if you're going to root out bad culture, if you're going to – be really honest with players, which, as I was told, was one of the issues this year, that for the first time a coach and a coaching staff was very candid and honest with players about what their level of play was. And maybe in the past it wasn't as honest as that. If you're going to raise the bar, you got to figure out who's in. And this is going to be the championship level. I'm not making excuses for these coaches, but that's at least what they're trying to do. Their resumes say that they've been in championship places before, so they know what it takes. But you got to give it time to get there, I guess would be the point. But to your point,
this no better place to do that is in the Big 12 right now for
yes.
another year.
I think, as Brian said, he thinks they'll be in this conference next year. But, as I said, think of the Big 12, right? The Big 12 has been big on getting as much cash from Oklahoma and Texas as they can, which is right. But when we come in on Monday, the Big 12 could have a current team and a soon-to-be team into the Final Four this year. That's a pretty big deal as far as that goes. And they have four either current or future members playing on Championship Saturday in big games with Cincinnati and Houston and Oklahoma State and Baylor. You know, that's good for the Big 12 Conference, current and future. Does that expedite the Big 12 to say, you know what, we're ready to move forward here. We're ready to move on. If this is going to happen, let's let it happen.
Yeah,
let's
get can you guys give us the money that you owe us? Can we get something here?
Yeah, let's work on an agreement. Made?
Yes.
We'll redo our schedule. Now, the other part of that is, can Cincinnati leave immediately? Can Houston get out of their contract immediately? All that can be financed and paid for, because remember, the conferences that they're leaving have already added the schools they're going to add. I mean, the domino effect happened when Texas and Oklahoma left and made their announcement. But when can they leave becomes the big picture. Brian seemed pretty adamant that it would be at least one more calendar year.
Right.
Because it's not just football moving. It's all sports
and
all athletics moving into the Southeastern Conference. So we'll follow that story for sure. But you're right. I mean, I don't know what to say about Steve Sarkisian. Is he the guy? Who knows? Did this team get the most out of this team this year? No. But were they raising the bar and forcing guys to raise their level and some guys just wouldn't and didn't? And that's what they're going to turn
off.
Oh,
no, they still have some non-believers on their football team.
Well, and that's what you got to root out this offseason. And that's what is, you know, 35 potential new players, either freshman recruits or transfer portal players. I mean, that's a big number of an 85 scholarship roster if you can add 35 new players. But they better be the right players. I mean, as Sark has said.
You add new problems.
Or you, exactly. So that's what they're out on the recruiting trail selling the vision. That was my point on Chris Beard. I understand a basketball roster is much smaller than a football roster, but Chris Beard, when he got to Austin, had one player guaranteed to him, and that was Brock Cunningham. Everybody else, even the returners, Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey, I mean, those guys had choices to make. And so point being, Chris Beard had to sell the vision to those players and to the seven transfers that came in. And look, there was nothing to build on. It was brand new, and these guys bought in, and it worked for Chris Beard. Steve Sarkisian's got to sell the same vision. He's got to sell the same exact thing.
Need the gas and the brakes and all that.
No.
That vision, you can keep that.
But
that in the bulletin board in your coach's room.
But to your point, that players don't want to. They want to come to a finished product. Well, you can't.
Well, they want to come to a product that looks like it's going to win.
Right.
That's what they want.
But you can't sell that right now.
Or the Brockemeyers would be here.
Well, I. Jump back into that conversation. There is a transfer portal, right? I mean, Luke's still playing here, their brother. The problem there was Tom Herman with the Brockemeyers, but who knows? Those are the kind of things you got to shake. This is what whenever we talk to Chris Beard every week, this guy leaves no stone unturned.
Right.
This guy is the ultimate grinder. Well, that's what Steve Sarkisian has to be right now. Leave no stone unturned to find good players. Go to every, you know, as we said yesterday, reporting that, you know, Florida State had assistants on the ground in Norman recruiting these portal players at Oklahoma. You better have some people there. I mean, literally, this is the lengths you have to be going to right now to...
Yeah, they have a couple nice receivers that...
Austin Stogner, tight end. I mean, look, again, but I'm not saying you can get them all, and I'm not saying... But to every extent, you have to move to try to find the best players and convince them.
Well,
and
that's what I said when it comes to individual coaches. If there's a better coach at a certain position in this country... You can't turn your nose up at that and say, well, here's what we're going to do. We're all going to stick together at 5-7, and I think we can just change it. I think, you know, not every assistant is a great assistant.
Well, I do think Sark believes.
And not every assistant can send the message from the head coach to the players. All of that works
well,
either.
And you know, this is the first time that Sark has worked with several of the coaches on his staff, mostly on defense. And so, yes, did he learn?
He's building his staff also at the same time.
Agreed. And so those are – but right now you got to recruit. Right now, this next 3 weeks
yes.
has to be – there's no coaching changes happening. If they happen, it'll be January.
Right.
Because you've got to be on the recruiting grind, you know, constantly right now, with both in the portal and on the high school level. And that's why he's in New Orleans today to meet with Arch Manning to sell the vision. And this whole thing with the collective, you don't think they're selling that? You know, this thing announced yesterday with $10 million already in it. I mean, it's not like Arch Manning needs branding. Everybody already knows his name.
But they'll know exactly what he does, what he likes, what his likes and dislikes
are.
That's
right. And you can sell that. You can sell Austin, Texas, a tech, you know, boom town. Now and then in the future, when you're talking about branding, that's good. Those are the things you have to sell, because you can't sell a fixed, you know, the cake is not baked. At Texas, obviously. So you can't sell that. You have to sell what you have. And, you know, we'll see what if it works. But that's got to be the mission in the next 3 weeks for Texas. We'll talk more about it. We'll get back into the Cowboys and Saints matchup tonight, Thursday Night Football. Cowboys with some good news and some bad news headed into this one, trying to get out of their little skid that they're in, playing in New Orleans tonight. We'll preview that game coming up. But next, it's Salacious Gossip and your blitz, only as good as you make it. Make it good next. First, Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
Salacious Gossip is brought to you by Bud Light each and every morning ahead of your blitz. These stories you say you don't like, but you know you love them. You know you love them. Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer. You'll have a few ready to go tonight. Ice cold ones for the Cowboys and Saints on Thursday Night Football. The prime timer, can the Cowboys turn their fortunes here and get things back headed in the right direction? Make sure you have a couple of ice cold Bud Lights while you're doing it. Also, you know, you're getting down to the nitty gritty on your fantasy football seasons, Buck. Only a couple of weeks
left.
Getting
there, huh?
Yeah, man. Big week. Big week. I will say in our big money league, we've somehow won four straight games to pull back into playoff contention.
Despite the Cowboys?
Well, no, I mean, my big problem, I need Alvin Kamara to play and score a lot of points tonight, but I don't know if he's going to play or not. He was my third or fourth overall draft pick. Hadn't had a great season. I need him, though. Need him. Playoff time. You know, so that's good luck to all you fantasy football folks with your, that's a big weekend, man. You got the Cowboys tonight. You've got championship Saturday, all day Saturday.
I need Wags to make me some money this weekend. You better not come up with that lame, I'm not making any money.
And you go up and down in these weeks. But, you know, that biggest game of the NFL weekend is Monday night with the Bills hosting the Patriots in an AFC showdown. That's Monday night football this week. So what a great five-day
stretch. That first one's in Buffalo, correct?
It is in Buffalo, indeed. And this is the first of two matchups here between now and the end of the season between the two. And here we are with Bill Belichick. That's his team right back in the mix as one of the best teams in the AFC with that
coaching
defense.
Does matter.
Indeed. And he's arguably the best that's ever done it. Last year was kind of an outlier as they rebooted their cap and got things back on track and now drafted a quarterback. But, Buck, here we go. Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. Got this for you. You know, the always fun holiday weight gain where you pack on the pounds during the holidays, Thanksgiving into Christmas and holiday parties and all the food. It says here that the one way to prevent gaining those extra pounds, you know what a good solution is on that?
I know. A midnight swim at Embler, the swim center with the cast from Cocoon for me.
What? No, I mean, exercise is a good idea.
Yeah,
exercise
swimming is good. That's good exercise.
Swimming, cycling, biking, running. Exercise is always good for you. No, but it says here that you might be able to prevent weight gain over the holidays by snacking on prunes. Do you like to eat prunes?
I'm okay with prunes and raisins. I'm good with.
It says here that prunes help you feel full throughout the day.
Yeah, I just I don't like the crap a lot.
No, but that's cleaning you out, my friend.
No, I just don't. I don't like doing it. That means there's time in the bathroom. I don't like to be in bathrooms a long period of time.
But it's good to relieve yourself. Get that out of there. You know, clean yourself through. But
just some raisins and raisinettes.
Okay, but prunes are better, it says here.
Okay.
Prunes are better.
I'm good with prunes. I like prunes.
Hey, since 2009, a guy in the UK held the record for the world's loudest burp. It was 109.9 on the decibel level.
What?
Apparently, a guy in Australia this week has beaten it. Do we have a little audio this day? The world's largest belch? Loudest?
112.4.
What? Come on, man.
That was it, huh?
101.
He broke the record.
My goodness.
You're not much of a belcher.
No, no, no. I'm more of a farter.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Going out the other way? Well, don't eat prunes then.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Don't eat the prunes. Hey, you like prunes?
Hell no.
Come on, man.
You can put them in your soup with your two sandwiches.
Soup today, man.
No soup today. Now, no soup for you.
Zay told you this in Hot or Not last hour, but it turns out that Robert Griffin III, RG3, is coming out with a new book. Tell-all book from his time in Washington with the Washington Football Club. And in it, he says he was the victim of sexual harassment while the member of the team. And he didn't go into detail, but says the book will go into detail. And he also goes into his relationship with Mike Shanahan and the injury that derailed his promising young career. So that book is coming out. But yeah, the Washington football team.
It's maybe something I don't need to know about.
Well, he wants it to be out there. He wants to tell his side of the story. You know what I'm saying? I got to give a buck on to Chad Ochocinco. Now, Chad Johnson, how about him? He gave a $1,000 tip to a single mother who was waiting his table. $1,000 tip on a $100 bill. Just because he liked her service and she's a single mom and Christmas is coming. Way to go, Chad.
Good move.
Pay it forward.
Zay, you need to do that this week.
$1,000 tip?
No, $500 is good for you.
$500? I'm just trying to get a raise, man.
Come on, man. Get the guy a raise. Let's go to your blitz.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Here we go. First blitzer, you're up.
Bucky B.
What's up?
I wish the NIL was around back in the day when I was there. I would have made a killing with Uber. This is BY.
BY would have killed it in NIL back in the day.
Nice.
I mean, that literally.
Oh, for sure. Are you kidding me? Next blitzer, you're up.
Bucky, dude, catching the ball and falling down is overrated. This is Blake Gideon.
Wow.
Catching the ball first. Do your job.
Got to do your job.
By the way, Kai Money retiring, hanging him up. Props to Kai. Buck on.
We can still work with him in image and likeness. Next blitzer, you're up.
Texas wants to brag. It's the most money, most profitable athletic department. Let me run you a list. Lincoln, $11 million. Saban, $9.7 million. Sark, $5.2 million. I don't want to hear another thing about how bad Big Texas is. It's like having 10 inches and only using three of it.
Oh, God.
What did he mean by that? What does that mean? Next blitzer, you're up.
I love that. Brian Davis said, you know, I love Brian Davis' take, but I still contend we would have had a winning record. Terry Joseph wasn't in there. Get him off the 40 acres immediately.
I thought he was going to say if they would have been in the SEC this year. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Buck.
What's up?
Now that you're into old man golf, don't forget the extra diapers.
Oh, see? What did I tell you? And I moved up yesterday. This is what's going to happen.
Well, that depends, if you know what
I mean. That depends. Yeah, depends. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey.
Yes.
I got 10, and I use all 10. This is Tim Duncan.
Oh, great. Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Joe, fan. Yeah. Hey, Arch Street, a former Baylor football player, as a sexual assault victim, the irony.
Harassment. He said harassment.
Harassment.
Assault. Two different words.
Yes. Next blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, this is Bobby Petrino. Yeah, I'm so proud of Lincoln Riley for being a traitor.
Hey, he's at USC now.
Next blitzer, talk to us.
Who was the last coach at Texas or at USC or at Alabama or Ohio State who went 5-7 and was invited back?
Mm, that's right.
Shut it down! Let's go home!
Yeah, last time Texas had a losing streak like they had this year, six in a row, was 1956, and that was the last year of a guy named Ed Price.
Hi, Ed.
And the next year was a guy named Daryl. Daryl Royal, 1957, began the rise.
That's what 5-7 gets you.
All right, we'll be back. When we do, we'll pick up these conversations. We've now edited the audio and the video of the kid playing the roles of dad leaving the family in honor of
the coach.
Are
we sure?
Oh, yeah. We've edited it. We got the beat?
Yeah, we got it.
Nice.
We'll play the entirety of the very funny video. Also, Cowboys and Saints tonight. How can the Cowboys find a win? Shouldn't they be favored by 5 points in New Orleans? We're diving in next on B&E.